Okay, what we're going to do is we're going through Psalm 96 tonight, and what we're looking for is to go deep into this word and to understand what is it that we're presenting to Yahweh. In other words, what you present to God, Yahweh, tells you how you feel about him. Father, I thank you for your eternal and your righteous word. It's powerful. It's just. You are the greatest king. You are the eternal, immortal. You are invisible. You dwell in the light that's not approachable by man. You sent your son because of the fact, as mankind, we had turned away from your perfect order. And by turning away from your perfect order, we end up with chaos. And you're the only one that can restore the order. Order in the home, order in the streets, order in the communities, order everywhere order needs to be. Therefore, Lord, we need to honor you and reverence you in the way that you have determined worship should be done. We ask these things for the sake of your holy child, Jesus the Christ, for the sake of your glory. And so that we can benefit from glorifying you. Look upon us. Often we think giving glory to your name is how we sing, how we preach, how we go in inside of a building that we call a church. And we neglect bringing glory to your name by justice, by telling the truth, by being faithful. We have the tendency to think that we determine what bringing glory to you is. Forgive us for our iniquitous, slovenly, slothful ways. And look upon us in pity and mercy and chasten us when we need it. Chasten us. Whip us. Do whatever is necessary so that we'll be the kind of people they don't have to face you in judgment, afraid, especially those of us who know the truth. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Tonight we are in Psalms 96, and this psalm is coming from 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter as well. So in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, what we'll have there, and I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to tell you about it. David finally gets a chance as king to bring the Ark of God's covenant back to Jerusalem. David is already set up. David is established as king. And yet as king, he wanted the people to know that there is one thing that rules me. There is one thing that I go by. And I need you all as a people to understand that there is someone over me, and that is Yahweh God. I rule because I was appointed. I rule because I was chosen. I rule because of the fact he saw fit to anoint me when I was at my father's house with the sheep. And my daddy didn't think enough to bring me into the house when Samuel the prophet came, but God saw me. And he anointed me. And he chose me. And he equipped me. He empowered me to do his will. And when I'm speaking for David, when I killed a giant, I was only doing God's will because I've learned what to be upset about. I understood that I was in the place of God as the individual that was going to bring justice, righteousness to Israel. I was going to bring glory to his name. And when I saw that big lip, uncircumcised Philistine, defying the armies of the living God, it just bothered me. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine bubbling his lips up against the almighty living God? And so David went out against this man at the time of war. Know what the battle was. You look at me like you think I'm a boy coming at you with a little sword, with a little stick and sling in my hand. And you got all your mail and your armor, looking like a big dragon, and you got your armor bearer before you. And you said, you're going to feed me, didn't you? To the beasts of the field. And animal dung in your own mind. But let me test. In the name of the living God of Israel, whom you have defiled. You got your god Dagon and any other type of sundry god that you all might serve. But I come to bring honor. I come to bring glory to his name. I'm just a vessel. I'm not all of that. But I come to you in a sincerity and truth. David ran toward him. He didn't stay like we do and say, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't think. David ran toward him, whooped that sling, and shoot. And the Holy Spirit sent that thing and it bust him right in the head. Killed him! You know how the old folks say, killed him, David? That. He had a soul. He took the man's sword and cut his head off with. The problem is, David, when he was anointed and God had set him up, he still hadn't taken over the throne. The eyes already chosen. So eventually David gets on the throne and he still has that mindset. Would to God that we would still have the mindset. Would to God that we would pay attention to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation chapter 2, where the biggest problem that they had is that they left their first love. How many of us have left our first love? We don't love God like we used to. We're not as faithful to him as we used to. Somewhere along the line, you stop being faithful to God and you start being faithful to church. You stop caring what God thinks and you start caring what your friends think. You stop being the person that God can depend on and you start listening to other people and depending on them. And you turn away from God and lose your first love. But at this time, David still had that mindset. He had his place, and he was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a joyous day. It was a wonderful day. It was a happy day. When they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, this is when it was. This psalm is birthed in that particular episode, as well as the 105th psalm, as well as the 106th psalm. And it talks about bringing glory to his name. Who rules you? Who do you give it to God? Are you satisfied that people in your assembly or your church accept you? And it doesn't really matter because God is not the one that you bring everything to. Now that we've had, let's look at Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto Yahweh the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto Yahweh the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto Yahweh, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength. Give unto the Lord Yahweh glory to his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Oh, worship Yahweh of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that Yahweh, the Lord, reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. The sea and let trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord Yahweh, for he cometh judge the earth. He shall judge people with his truth. Glory to his everlasting name, and just praise to Yah. Let's say it the way it's said in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Praise Yah for his word. One of the things that we need to take into consideration and look into in looking at this passage is the setup, knowing that David is bringing it back, bringing the ark back, letting the people know that God rules over him. And that's the number one thing in his life, not his position, not his power, not his army, but the God that he serves. What do we give to Yahweh to show his worth to us? Who do we give our glory to, Yahweh or ourselves? So he says, sing unto Yahweh a new song. Usually when they would have battles, after the battle is over and the people are so excited, the threat is gone. The threat is gone. Do you all remember the women dancing and singing when David killed Goliath and Saul end up hearing that? And the women were singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul said, they ascribe to me thousands, but to David 10,000. What more shall he have than the kingdom? This fool, this wretched fool, already knew that God had replaced him. He already knew when he talked to Samuel that Samuel said, God has judged you. God has judged you, and you get a fake repentance. You didn't really repent. You repented because you were caught. Say it again, Tim. You repented because you called. And if you would have been allowed to keep the kingdom without that, you wouldn't have done it. Your heart wasn't in it. You didn't realize that you had moved into witchcraft because you were rebellious. You didn't realize that you had gone into idolatry because you were stubborn. That's what 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 explains. That rebellion is like witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Here is David coming before God, and the war is over. Sing a new song. We bring in the Ark of the Covenant back. Sing unto Yahweh all the earth. In other words, not just Israel. Not just Israel. God never intended his word, his will, and his glory to only extend to Israel. That's the case, it would have only extended to Abraham. God told Abraham, if you look at 12 and 3 Genesis, if you look at the 15th chapter of Genesis, you will find that God had promised Abraham that through him, all of the families of the earth would be blessed, all of them. They would be blessed through his seed, which is singular, and that seed is Christ. But throughout that time, God would send precursors. What's another word for precursors? He would send prototypes of what Christ would be like, and they would fail in many ways, but you would see a glimmer. So he says, sing all the earth, letting you know that it's not just for Israel to serve and bring glory to Yahweh. It's not for Israel just to know this, but how is it that you're going to sing to the Lord and glorify his name if you don't understand? And we haven't gotten to Psalm 105 and 106. We're going to find out that that same psalm is going to go through and say, but you all turned against God. You started serving other gods. You went with Baal. You went with the people in Midian. But we're not going to talk about that deeply tonight. But you want to sing to the Lord, and you can't sing the Lord to the Lord dirty. You can't bring glory to God's name when you're wicked and you're ungodly. You can't do it. Might fix your lips to say that you can, but you're living a damnable lie to yourself. Saul did it in the 15th chapter when Samuel told him that God was going to replace him. And if it's not the 15th, it'll be the 16th, okay? But I believe it's 15th, real hard with all my might, whichever one it is, and put it on the video. Here it is. He said, but go with me anyway, Samuel. Go with me before the people and let me work. Worship. What a nasty, filthy, wretched attitude that you're outside of God's will and you worried about worshiping in front of the people instead of bowing down and giving glory to God's name. Do you understand that giving glory to God's name means accepting his judgment as well? Where you get that kind of talk, Tim? And why are we moving throughout the Bible instead of staying with some? First of all, the Bible is connected. It's connected by all of the prophets. That's why it's called the Word of God. He gave it in bits and pieces. Why do you think Hebrews chapter 1 say God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake by the prophets and in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. He spoke many times, many portions, in many ways, but his Son has the last say. The seventh chapter of the book of Joshua, there was a man that took of that which was forbidden, just like Eve partook of that which was forbidden, like Adam took of that which was forbidden, and God had determined to judge somebody, to judge a nation, Ai. And Achan went in and saw a goodly garment. He was going to bring glory to himself through his clothes, because clothing and attire is a way that a person glorifies themselves. And it had goods. He had some gold and some silver, if I'm right, some wedges of it. And he hid it, and he brought judgment on the congregation. He and his wickedness going to go in and mingle with the congregation. And if he's done nothing, how many of us that call ourselves the children of God will live in wickedness and dirt and still be around the people of God and not realize we're bringing in damnation and hell and don't care? Well, Achan did it, and God let his sin find him out. He was just going to let it be, and Joshua had to keep diligently inquiring. You didn't want to come forth with your dirt. 36 men died because of you, fool. And God found out who you were, and God saw your dirt. Joshua said, son, give glory to God. And the man confessed all of his dirt, and God still let him be put to death. So bringing glory to God is honoring God's will, honoring God's way, honoring his standards of perfection, honoring that he knows how to work everything for your good, and just glorifying that you are walking with him. So why not sing unto the Lord a new song? Why not teach this to the people of all the earth? Verse 2, sing unto Yahweh, bless his name. Didn't I say just a few minutes ago that everybody can't bless God? Let me tell you one of the things that I have found to be a problem. One of the things that I have found to be a problem, because sometimes when you teach the Bible and you teach and you go to different scriptures, it bothers some people. First of all, it's not my fault if you hadn't studied God's word. What have you studied? You're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, you're a teacher, you're a Sunday school driver, a bus driver. What are you? But when it comes to God's word, They didn't even use the Bible a lot of time when they preached. Jesus would say, as the prophet Jeremy said, or as in the prophet Isaiah, or Moses has said. We can look at the scripture and see. Because God knows we hadn't memorized all first five books of the Bible and familiar with the prophets. Because most of the time we get a feel good. How to overcome your enemy. How to get your breakthrough. You'll see things like, I need a word. You need a word. You need to understand what God wants. You need more than a word. I need more than a word. A word can make you feel good and get you a high. The word of God will deliver. It will empower. It will allow you to help this come to pass so that all the earth, all the nations can sing to him. But listen to what it's saying here in the second verse of this beautiful psalm. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Well, how can you bless his name if you're wicked? Listen to what the Bible says by Jesus' brother, the Apostle James, 3:7. That's James 3:7. He's talking about the thing that we bless God with, our tongue. He says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Listen to this. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth the blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth both sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bring forth olive berries? So can no fountain yield forth salt water and fresh? Who is wise and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. I will submit to you, until we get to the place that we're speaking truth and speaking justice, and that we're speaking what God wants, we can say, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down, give God the glory, or how excellent is thy name, O Lord, wisdom of the ages. You bring glory to God by how you live. You bring glory to God how you make your conversations aright with other men. So it says, sing to the Lord, bless his name. So you would understand from that, if you heard me correctly, it's not just saying hallelujah. We love you, God. We worship you. It's how we conduct our lives. I hope that was clear. If it's not, then we can discuss it in discussion. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Show forth that word salvation, Yeshua. Show forth his salvation from day to day. In other words, not just today or the day you come in and say, well, we have church on Sunday. Y'all do it on Sabbath. But that's the day when I get bring praises to his name. Well, what does the Bible say? Look in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians and the 14th verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the apostle Paul said to the people that used to divination, awake and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. See then that you walk not as fools, but as wise. That means mindfully. Here's what I want you to hear. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Show forth his salvation day to day. Don't take a day off. Well, the day is mine. I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to do like I want to. We can do that God stuff later. And especially young people. When I get old. Who said you're going to get old? You can get old while you're young. Have certain kind of disease, have certain kind of wreck, and your body will age. Chronologically, you might not be, but your physicality will not know the difference. redeeming the time. Sing unto Yahweh, bless his name with a lifestyle that's righteous. Show forth his salvation day to day, declaring that I'm going to live this life before the ungodly. I'm going to live it the way it's supposed to be every day without a day off. Then it says, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among the people. I will submit to you, that is the same kind of thing that Jesus told the disciples to do after he was raised from the dead. You think that the Great Commission was only given then. It was always for the nations to learn who God was. This is a psalm written before Jesus became born of a woman.
Or the word of God was born of a woman, however you want me to say it, make you feel better. But listen to what it says in Matthew 28 and 18, so that you see the same thing is going on today. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. How are you going to teach what you don't know? Listen to what he says. It's very important that you hear this. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, not to say, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I confess with my mouth, I say you're Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart you're raised from the dead. Now I'm saying, you don't even know who Jesus is. You don't know who the Father is. You don't know what Lord is. You don't know how to bring glory to his name. Somebody told you to say that and you'd be saved. Do you know how what death to self is? Do you know what death to sin is? Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves. What mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now slow it down, Tim. And say sometimes you go too fast. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It talks about the fornicators, the adulterers, the abusers of themselves with mankind, the effeminate, and all of that list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, and 10. He said, but those people were washed. They became sanctified and justified. What are you going to teach the people to say a prayer, a magical prayer? Oh my God. The Bible tells you in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though Christ, or though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. Next verse says, and became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Back to verse 20, teaching the nations to observe, that means to conform to, all things whatsoever I commanded, not suggested. Commanded, ordered you.
And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You want to be able to bring glory to him? Bring it by his order. He says, show forth his salvation. Don't be showing that you make this prayer and you're saved from death, that you're saved from sin, that you're saved from the wrath of God, which is going to come on this world. Show them where we are. Show them what has happened to mankind. Show them why we need a Savior. Show them what the Lord Jesus said do to be conformed to his will. Show them his salvation from day to day and declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. Make him big in the minds of the people. He's already big, but we don't see it. What do you mean? Make his wonders known. He's controlling everything. All power is in his hand. Move to the next verse, then verse 4. Great. Reno, you could stop a message right there. When you see him as great, you'll ascribe to him his greatness. You'll ascribe to him his glory. But when you don't see him as great,
you will allow anybody to just come in and tell you anything about him and you'll accept it. You'll let somebody come in and tell you that God does not have a son and that his son is just the last prophet and that his prophet name is not Yeshua, that his prophet's name is Esau, or that they'll tell you that his son is just an angel, which is talking about a celestial being, or you'll let somebody tell you he's a spirit brother of Lucifer. Yes, you will. Say it. You have people that say that they're Christians, they go along with the Mormons. You have people that say he's just an angel, they go along with what is taught by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society out of Brooklyn, New York, called the Jehovah's Witness. So all I'm saying is that he is to be feared. He is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above. A lot of people say they had no other gods. Psalm 82 shows you that what we have here in English is gods. And sometimes they say that there are no gods, is saying it in comparison to who he is. Okay? In other words, I can pick up a basketball and I can practice and I can make a lot of shots in one spot. But you get a guy like Steph Curry or somebody that's making a lot of money in the NBA, so he ain't a ball player. He can't shoot no ball. What are they saying? He's nothing. Absolutely nothing, okay? Nothing. So when God is compared to the other Elohim, the celestial beings, they are nothing. Listen, he is to be feared above all the Elohim, all of the spiritual entity. Then it says, for all the gods of the nations are idols. In other words, they are worthless when you compare them to him. But, in case you think I know it's not what I'm talking about, listen to how Paul talks about this. Those of you that are familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, you already know I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to move into the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is the same thing. I tell you, the Bible is consistent throughout. Paul says, behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? If we go through Leviticus again, you'll see that there's certain Salim offerings that they would eat with the priest and they would partake of the altar. Definitely the priest did. So it says, what shall I say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? He's going to answer this with the but. But I say that the things which the Gentiles or the nations sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. How dare we have fellowship with devils and we're going to be excited about a Yule log, which is a phallic penis that's being burned for fertility. God does not want that from us. There are so many things that we have brought into what we call the church and the origin of them. And I got to go through them, but the origin of them are satanic. They are idol worship. But to just deal with the passage here, Paul says they sacrifice the devils. Guess what? You ain't go out here and buy $1,000, $10,000 worth of presents and give them away that you wouldn't do ordinarily. You making sacrifices. I've seen people get put out of their home making sacrifices for what we call Christmas. They go buy it, and if they don't buy it, people get upset. How dare you give an obligation to me that's not rooted in God's word? Whoa! Now let me get back to the word of God. It says, what shall I say? That the idol is anything? That which is offered is sacrificed to idols, anything, but I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice the devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So many times we listen to the teaching of people that don't love God and we fellowship with them. We let them tell us that there is no way for you to live a godly life. When the Bible tells you that after, this is what Peter said, after God has made you perfect, he will strengthen and settle you. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word perfect speaks of the word teleos in Greek, which means to be mature and complete. You don't let somebody redefine God's word. Who are they? People tell you God forgive.
anything. Your sins, past, present, and future. It doesn't matter how you live. And yet Romans 8 and 13 says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Who you taking of? You're eating the food. Do you understand the word of God is food? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, quoting Deuteronomy 8 and 3. When you listen to the doctrines of devils, you're partaking of their table. When they're moving you away from what God has said, you're eating from their table. That's what the sacrifice was about, eating at their table.
Now listen to what he says, because I know sometimes people don't want to hear the word of God. Guess what? I ain't supposed to care. Whether they like it or not, I'm supposed to say it. Verse 21, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Keep worshiping. Keep doing things because you think it's not a big deal. But if you understood what we call the Hebrew scripture of the Old Testament, that is why they were put out of the land. That is why they would not let the land go fallow and let it have its Sabbath, because you felt like the other nations were getting stuff and they were getting all of the benefits from Baal, Molech, Asherah, and all of this. And we do the same thing. We just got a different name for it. And we don't care enough to study. I said, you cannot. I can tell you this much. I've been doing some research. The witches know. The witches know. The people that serve Gaia know. The people that do astrology, they know. The people that have set up guide stones in the world, they know. People that made Stonehenge, they know. But it says you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the tables of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Go ahead and let them bring in that you know you can do a little reincarnation. Let them go ahead and bring in you can do a little Islam with your Christianity. Go ahead and let them tell them you can go ahead and take the wafer and the wine and you can call it transubstantiation and say this is really, really Christ and we're going to crucify him again. Go ahead and take in other religions, but you won't be doing and understanding Psalm 5. To bring God glory, you must know, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. There's your difference. There's your comparison. He made the heaven. He overrides them. Honor and majesty are before him. It says strength and beauty is in his sanctuaries. Give unto Yahweh, all ye kindred of the people, give unto Yahweh glory and strength. Why don't you let God see your glory? Why don't you let God see your strength is toward him? Tim, what do you mean, his glorious strength? Glad you ask. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, listen to what Jesus, Yeshua, said. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Give unto the Lord glorious strength. Give him your mind. Give him your all. Move away from things that would take you away from his rightly divided word. Give him the glory. Are you giving Yahweh his glory? Are you diminished aught to fit into this world? Verse number 8. Give unto Yahweh the glory due his name. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day give speech. Night unto night gives forth knowledge. There is no language, there is no speech where his word cannot be heard. It is gone out like the sun coming out, running his circle throughout the earth. Go look at Psalms 19 sometime and read it. Then it says, bring an offering, come into his courts. People know about bringing money and they treat God as if he's a whore. You get told that no matter how you live, if you pay the tithe, you are right. I can go and fornicate. I can adulterate. And here's the word I made up. I can homosexuate. I can murder. I can blaspheme God. I can say that I can live and once saved, always saved. And I can do anything I want to. And it doesn't matter because all my sins, past, present, and future are forgiven. But guess what? If I don't pay the tithe, they say the devourer,
get you, demons, what are gonna get you? The devourer is coming to get you. As if God can be paid off. What kind of God is that? He said, the heavens are mine, the earth is my footstool. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The cattle on the thousand hills is mine. I want you to understand the hills are his. How do you know that, Tim? Because I know Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Why are you saying this, Tim? Are you saying we don't have to tithe? Are you saying we don't supposed to bring an offering to God? I'm going to tell you the number one offering God wants is your loyalty. That's what Paul was telling the people, Romans 12 and 1. I beg you, I urge you by mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart from wickedness, lawlessness, from worshiping anything and listening to any other doctrine of his, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I submit to you that when he says bring an offering and come into his courts, the God of the scripture that I know, if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, you can bring an offering, you can bring an oblation, you can bring money, and he would not want it if you're not willing to do his justice. You're not willing to do his judgment. If you were to look at Amos chapter 5 and look at verse 20 through 23, he said, don't even bring me no more of your songs. I don't want to hear you singing. I don't want your so-called praise and worship. But let judgment. Let me tell you something. One of the saddest things to keep people from giving God the glory, Yahweh the glory, that he deserves is this. We want another miracle. We want another sign. Jews seek after a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But do you understand the greatest of all that you would see is that you would learn judgment. Righteous judgment. Micah 6 and 8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And just think about this. I'm looking at my wife now. He didn't ask them what is good. He said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. Because you don't know what good is. Like a child want this, a child want this. No, it's not good for you. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? What does he require? Tim, don't quote this one. This one's so pretty. Open it up and take your time and read it slowly. M-I-C 6 and 8, because this is one that I know, but I didn't even want to leave one word out since this is what he said. But to do justly, judgment, and to love mercy. Do you understand? Mercy is shown when justice is due. Justice, when justice is met, there was no mercy shown to the thief in the scripture until he did that which was necessary to restore. Read your Bible. I'm gonna just forgive you. You have not had justice yet because you repented in your mind or you confessed. You got to do and bring forth the fruits that's meet for repentance. He was telling them how to rule the world. He was telling them how to show the nations how to love and bring glory to Yahweh. He has showed the old man what is good and what does Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. One of the hardest things for people to do is to walk humble with God. And you know why it's hard for them to walk humble with God or humbly? Because we have our own thoughts. We have our own opinion. And there are other people saying, you're a fanatic. You're a fanatic about that. It don't take all of that. Let me tell you something. You're going to listen to somebody that's in my granddaddy to say breath and britches. Do you like the Falcons? Do you like the New England Patriots? Do you like hockey teams? Do you like the world champion? What's that team that play football? We call it soccer. Do you understand those people are fanatics about that? They'll scream, they'll holler, they'll spend their money, they'll get all upset, and they'll sometime in the, what's that place they put the cheese head, where the Green Bay Packer, they'll put cheese head on. And I've seen people out there in the cold with their shirts off. They'll be out there in the rain, sitting in the snow watching baseball, and they think nothing about being fanatical about that. But let you decide that I'm going to do God's will, I'm going to walk in God's will, they'll tell you you're fanatical. It doesn't take all of that, and get that away from me. God's watching. But that's how you bring glory to his name. So give unto glory to his name, bring an offering. Verse 9, a worship the Lordness. Being set apart. Now for Aaron and his sons, in the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, God had given the Holy Spirit. Yes, he did. Go read it. He gave certain people his spirit of wisdom that they could make the clothes out of fine twined linen, and that he could make the cap that Aaron would have, and then make the metal plate that went that says holiness to the Yahweh on top of it. I wanted to say the Lord and Yahweh at the same time. Holiness to Yahweh on the top, and then he had bonnets for his sons, certain breeches that cover their thigh down to their waist, so it's nothing sexual supposed to be happening up there in the worship inside of the temple and the tabernacle at that time. He says, worship the Lord in beauty attire. What kind of clothing are we supposed to have now? That's how you bring glory. Do you glorify Yahweh? Do you even know what it is, or do you glorify yourself? Then he says, forgive all the earth. See, a lot of the earth don't fear him. Apart from him is understanding. The earth is supposed to fear him before the day come when they cry to the rocks and ask the rocks and the mountains to fall on us. We're supposed to be showing God's word. The only hope that this world has met and is justice. And then after the individual have gone through the chastening process and their mind have come life and light, that individual obtains his mercy. Then he says, say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth. We don't act like he reigns. What we'll say is, well, it could be Buddha, it can be Krishna, it can be Muhammad, it can be or it could be anything that we say that it is, any other kind of God. We said, because all these ways lead to God. And some of your big time money making preachers say that. But what does the word of God say? Say among the heathen that Yahweh reigneth, not just the Lord. We have a name here, YHWH or YHWH. Some people say Yahuwah, some say Yehovah. I use because of the mark on it, I say Yahweh, but we definitely know it says more than just saying the Lord. It says the world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. Go into all the nations. That's what Yeshua said, Yeshua Jesus, teach them and teach them to observe all that I commanded. He shall judge righteously. Do you think he only going to judge righteously when he comes back to the earth? The Bible said judgment must begin in the house of God. But if you don't let judgment begin in the house of God, then we're going to be cast aside like Israel was in Isaiah chapter 1. One of the biggest problems you have in Ezekiel is that they didn't judge. Go and read sometime Ezekiel 34, and the men that were supposed to be pastors and leaders, they were fleecing and taking advantage of the people, and God's judgment wasn't being done. And so the whole nation was just full of whoredom. Listen to what the rest of it says. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Do you see when you make it on earth as it is in heaven and you start making, we start making things like God wants it to be, this not only brings glory to him, it shows that we appreciate him. We are ascribing to him his greatness and we are bringing glory to his name. Not glory that he didn't already have. We're bringing back to him that which was his. That's what the heave offering was. For those that have ever read about it, the heave offering, you raise it up. Some call it a wave offering. And you raise it up to him, and then when you bring it back down and it's blessed, that priest will get to eat part of it. Verse number 12, let the field be joyful. and all that therein is, then shall all of the trees of the wood rejoice. Do you know Paul talked about, it was kind of amazing. I'm going to just show it to you. I hadn't intended on it, but I'm going to. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It's very pretty. The Bible says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, the creation, was made separate, but by reason of him, because the creature itself shall be delivered from glorious liberty of the sons of God, or the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto me with Genesis. You don't know God cursed the earth. You don't know we've never had a perfect apple, a perfect pear. Because the earth has been, what Peter said, destroyed. But destroyed did not mean it's gone forever. Think about that when people tell you just be annihilated and gone forever. You better let the Bible use the terms the way it wants to. Then it says, verse 13, I'm going to read 12 and 13 together before we close. Let the field be joyful, and all that therein, then shall the trees of the wood rejoice. When God is given glory by those that say they love him, if right now everybody say they love God, and they say they really into him, if they would bring the glory to him that's due his name, and get rid of any false religion, any that I'll do what I want to, and the Lord just got to forgive me and just say, I'm just going to serve him. If he empowers me, I'm going to make it my business to do him right. Just like when a woman say, you know what? This man better not cheat on me because I'm gone. Or a man say, if she cheat on me, I'm gone. You don't expect it to happen one time. But when it comes to God, we do it 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. We used to say that when we played hide and seek. But it says in verse 13, I need to read 12 and 13 together again. Let the field be joyful, and all that therein is. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before Yahweh, for he cometh to judge the earth. See, the first time he came as a sacrifice. Yet is that sacrifice to redeem. There was something in there to damn the earth. What do you mean, Tim? John 3:16. You all can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, it's continual, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's say John 3:18. You like that? He that believeth not is condemned already because he have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay. 17. But God sent not his son to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I will submit to you, although he didn't come to condemn the world the first time, his presence, your action based on what he did when he came as the Prince of Peace, he didn't come to just rub you on the bottom and make peace. He was demanding peace. This is the peace that's required of my Father for you to live and have eternal life. Those are the conditions of peace. Why he told them, I'll come with my holy angels and they're going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goat. I didn't come here just to be neutral. So he says, he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Then he left. He said he's going to send his spirit. Didn't he say it? Because we are supposed to represent him. Now listen to what he says to the people that the Holy Spirit would do. John 16, verse 7. Listen to the sweetest word of God. Jesus says to the disciple in John 16 and 7, after he's already told them that there'll come a time people will kill you and think they do God's earlier parts of this chapter. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, and he came on the day of Pentecost, he will reprove the world, not get along with it,
not be politically correct with it. He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He has not stopped reproving the world. The only thing is that we stop. That's why it's taking so long for him to come back.
We talk about that one day. We can hasten the day of the Lord's coming. I'm not going to give you the scripture. You can Google it or look, hasten, H-A-S-T-E-N, the day of the Lord's coming. But some things I just want to see if I can get people to go into the word. It says, for he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. He will judge the people with his truth, the only truth. Because what did he say when he came? You all know the scripture. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You talk about you got a truth? Your truth don't matter. Unless your truth is his truth, you don't have the power to have a truth. You have the power to have an opinion. It is not truth because you ascribe to it truth. Now listen to what the sweet word of God say. It said he would judge the people, not just Israel. Are we together? Revelation chapter shows this. This is the apostle John. As far as we know from history, this is the John that wrote this. And so John says on the, and I saw the dead, small, and great. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things which were written according to their works. It doesn't matter. Well, you can read the Bible yourself. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell. That means death and Hades. In the Old Testament, it was called Sheol. Delivered up them that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever, listen, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He shall judge the world with righteousness. Whoever name is not found, we won't have to put up with them no more. They will have caused all the trouble that they ever will cause. They will have murdered all they ever will murder. They will have politically corrected. They would have changed what is called judgment into legalities the last time. They would have had all the pleasure that they will ever have, and no more forever. They will be done with on this earth, and they'll be in the place of judgment where God will give them eternal judgment and eternal consequences because they didn't bring glory to Yahweh and his son. I didn't make that up. You don't like what I said, I'm going to add to it. Go to Revelation 21 and 8. I'm going to say, and another thing. Listen to what the Bible says, Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful, you're afraid somebody's not going to like you no more. They're not going to be your friend. They're not going to let you be in their party. They're not going to let you be in the club. They're going to fire you from a job. But the fearful, we can't go into the promised land like they said in Numbers 14. The unbelieving, I just don't believe God is this strict. And the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers. I can do divination and pharmakia if I want to. And the idolaters and all liars left their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All of these people were judged according to their works. So in essence, this passage is teaching us how to bring glory to Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing and bless his name with a clean mouth. Show forth his salvation the way it is from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. They need to learn about him. And is wondered among all the people because he is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above every other religion, every other god, every other deity. For the gods of the nations are idols. They can't compare to him. But Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. That's what we're talking about. Strength and beauty is tied up in his holiness.
Give unto Yahweh, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength, your mind, your heart, your soul, and everything that therein is. Give glory to his name. Bring an offering. Bring yourself to him as you're supposed to be, not just your money. Worship in the beauty of holiness, separated, not being with the table of devils, not being with idolatry. Fear before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen, Yahweh reigns. That's why I'm like I am. I got a king. Let him know the problem of evil will be dealt with. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that therein is. And all the trees of the wood shall rejoice. Know that one day that this earth will be redeemed when we bring God the glory that's due his precious name. And then take comfort in this. He'll judge the world in righteousness. He'll judge it for every deed, every work, and everything that defiles the beauty of holiness. He'll deal with it once and for all. The question is, do you bring glory to Yahweh? Do you bring glory to his name? Or do you just sing a song, clap your hand, and be religious? He knows. He knows. With that, I'll open our class after I pray for discussion. Father, we need you. We need you, Yahweh. God, we need you. We need to recondition our minds to think, what are we involved in? What is going on in our lives? How can we bring glory and honor to your name? How can we reflect it back to you so that you will get the praise that's worthy of you, that you will get the honor that is worthy for you, so that the nations will fear the fear of you that they need to fear because it's of you, a great man, a powerful and a terrible God, so that the nations will learn and that they can be taught to conform to all the commands that you sent by your holy child, Jesus, Yeshua the Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Now we're open for discussion. If there's any discussion to be had tonight, do we have any discussion on the conference line? Nope, no discussion tonight.
This is Rich.
Yes, Brother Rich, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say that the message was good and uplifting, and I really appreciate it. You know, it as usual, it always brings lots of thoughts and lots of things. So, you know, hey, it was fantastic. So,
yes, sir. Did you have anything, a thought that I didn't bring up that you'd like to add to it? But I know your mind was thinking.
Well, you know, my mind is always thinking. And I guess one of the big things is that I was thinking about is the gifts and the talents that people give to God. And either know the assessment or the judgment as to whether they're using them or not using them. You know, so I was just reflecting on that. And that's a thing, you know, I mean, I think you mentioned in the message, you talked about judgment, you know, some. And, you know, I guess for each individual, they have to look to him or herself and say, you know what, God, this is a talent that you've given me. And I'm using it. Or, what can I do to hone it, to sharpen it, to really use it?
That's you good.
Know, yeah, it's you know, when you talked about the education a little bit, you know, it's like people go out there, you know, are you a doctor? Are you trained to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever? An Indian chief, you know, whatever it is. Whatever it is you train to be, and then you compare it to the Word of God, you know. But it comes down to what is your view of the Word of God? You know, is this Bible the Word of God, or is the Word of God a feeling that you have and you just call it the Holy Spirit, you know?
That's good. Let me dovetail on two things you said before you go. One thing is honing your skills or whatever it is that God is, you can tell God is giving you something that you're working with. And instead of saying, I want to be like sister so-and-so, a brother Magruder, you got something and you don't work on it. But Jesus says in John 15, every branch of me that bears fruit, he prunes it. He works on it so it can bring forth more. Well, I'm sure he does it by himself, but he also does it by us. That's why we search diligently. That's why we study, so that we can grow in the knowledge of God. Because we've talked about that in 2 Peter and the faith, virtue, knowledge, kindness, brotherly kindness, you know, all of those things. And if they're in you, they make it where you won't be barren. But then the other thing you brought in, feeling versus the Word. Will you kind of bring that out a little more? Because that's a problem. Because people feel that they're bringing glory to God, and the Word of God will say totally different. I'll give you the case in point why you build your thoughts. When they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant the first time, and they brought it on that cart, and the ark was never to be carried on a cart. It was supposed to have that rod going through it that was overlaid in gold on the Kohathite's shoulders. And then that ark shook, and they were all happy. And Uzzah grabbed the ark to keep it from falling. God killed him. Bam, say like the old folk, killed him dead. David got mad at God. Let the ark go to Obed-Edom's house, and they saw Obed-Edom getting blessed, all kind of blessing. And anyway, the next time they brought it back like it was supposed to be. But they had a feeling, we doing good. We got an innovation. We got a new way to serve God. Just get it done. And God said, I don't do that. Because one reason is carried by the Kohathites is that represents the cherubim carrying God's throne that we see in Ezekiel chapter 1. Don't mess up his order. We may not understand what his order is, but when we see it, we ought to walk with it. So now let me hear your thoughts on that feeling versus the Word, you know, because I wanted to give you time to make your thoughts complete.
Well, what I've been observing, Tim, is that, you know, and I think it really... You really hone in again in this lesson. You know, it goes back to one's presupposition. If one's presupposition is that the Bible is the Word of God, I love it. I reverence it because it's the Word of God. And so I'm going to do anything and everything that I know to do to hear what it has to say versus, well, you know, I go to church and I get a verse here and a verse there, and that's all I need. You know, I've had my devotion today. That was a half an hour, maybe an hour, and that's all I need. What more do I need? So That's what I'm thinking, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like, well, I feel good. You know, I got the fruit of the Spirit. What more do I need? You know, I don't even have to stop and think about what the fruit of the Spirit is. I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at whatever, you know, come to the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I was looking at Romans 9.
Okay.
And comparing Romans 9 to the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and I'll just go there a little bit. Just says, you know, and I'm sure you can quote it better than I can, but it just hit me, you know, I'm going
to
just read
it. I turned to it. I cheated.
Yeah. Well, you know, Paul says, you know, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying in my conscience. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed, separated from Christ. Now I'm thinking, you know, as I'm reading this, you know, Paul says he has great sorrow and unceasing grief in his heart. In that first verse, he talks about the Holy Spirit. And one thing, well, if you got the fruit of the Spirit, how are you going to have great sorrow and unceasing grief in your heart?
Is that rhetorical, you know, or you wanted me to speak?
It's rhetorical. It's rhetorical.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's rhetorical. Believe me, it's rhetorical. Yeah, it's rhetorical. But my point being, you know, my point being is that person think, oh, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't have to stop and think about it. I don't have to compare. I don't have to look at a verse such as this and compare it to Galatians and see how they, you know, how they mesh.
Right. You're talking about 5:22 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering,
right,
gentleness. Okay, I'm with you.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, what is the word of God to you?
I'm losing your sound.
I'm just saying, what is the word of God to you as an individual? You know, whomever you are. That's all I'm saying. But it really gets back to one's presupposition. You know, again, I mean, you mentioned you mentioned Christmas. You know, and I look at the neighborhood and the lights are going up and all of that. And my next door neighbor, you know, the two men, they got a little Christmas stuff up. They always put their little Christmas stuff up. And I believe they're homosexual. And the people next door, you know, they got their stuff up. And I really don't believe that they love God, but they love Christmas, and they got the little kid and the dog, you know. And on my house, you got all this Christmas stuff up. And I'm thinking, when I walk through the house, I'm thinking, you know, I don't just dislike it, I hate it. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Rich, when people really take the time to learn what these wreaths mean, when they begin to learn about rubric, when they learn why they really are stockings hanging down, that rubric, that little demon thing that they brought from Scandinavia that used to come with Santa Claus, that he would be there with the switches to whip the children. And that what would happen is if the child was good, they would put their boots in front of the fireplace and they would say that he would go up on the chimney and drop the candy down inside the boots. That's where the stockings came from. But the thing that should really start getting people to think is, why are you not that interested in Passover? Why are you not that interested in the Feast of Tabernacle or the Moedim of Tabernacle? Why are you not that interested in what we call the Day of Atonement? But we can be interested in the very things that we got from Europe. And I do mean Europe, Scandinavia, the Norsemen and all of that. And the things that we got from, I'm going to call it Sir Constantine the Great, when he supposedly saw this cross in the sky, which was like a key, like the Greek letters, like an X. And he put the row in the middle. I think it's called, I have to remember the name, but it was like they would put it on their banner and go around, and it's on the web. You could call it the Banner of Constantine, but when I talk about it more, I'm saying that that's not the only thing we do, though. There are a lot of things that we do. We bring people in our assembly that, you know good and well, they would have never got to be inside of God's tabernacle. performing and doing service. We make it as if God is not particular. Yet, this is one of the things that they say, I don't want to go to that church where they judgmental and they got something to say about how I live. Well, first of all, you'd have never got to worship in Israel because of the fact the high priest and the priest, they had to determine what kind of thing. And the animals that were going to be offered as a sacrifice, they would have to determine if you had leprosy, if the leprosy was clean out the house, if the leprosy was gone. That was the job of the priest to make sure that worship was done correctly. Wasn't to be mean, but I'm telling you now, if God's holy word can't do and correct us where we need to be corrected, folk will leave us in the damned. They'll leave us dead. And so what ends up happening is we let people tell us, but I will promise you, people that don't believe what you believe will always have no problem correcting you. Righteous judgment is what God wants. Man-style judgment is what you don't want. Listen to what God says. This is Leviticus 19 and 17. 19 and 17, Leviticus. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin to come upon him. That's what God wants us to love him.
That's right.
And that's when he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you were just talking, and I try to get off of it, but you know, you look into the history of Christmas, and you talk to people today, and people say, "Well, that symbol, you know, that's what it means to you, but it doesn't mean that to me."
Man, I got too many books against that lie. I got too many books against it. I own a set of books called McClintus and Strong Ecclesiastical. However, it's an ecclesiastical something of the church. It's about a 12-volume set of books. When I first heard about it, it was about $700. I think I got it for $300. But anyway, it's online now. And it's called, and what's the name of that book? Let me see if I can reach it out of my library here. Okay. The name of the book is called Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, Ecclesiastical Literature. Just type in McClintock and Strong. McClintock and Strong. And anything that you want to know, because it's an older book, it'll tell you about a lot of the things, whether it's Catholic, whatever holiday, whatever people serve or worship now, you'll be able to start looking some of these things up.
But you know, Tim,
uh-huh.
You know, what I'm thinking is, you know, let's just say, okay, you don't have all of that, and you just look at the symbol, and I'm just saying, trying to use common sense, just say you look at the symbol, and you just look at the symbol, and say, how does this thing bring me closer to God? How does this make me holy? You know, the scripture says you're to be holy because I'm holy. Now, how does looking at this wreath and looking at a tree with some lights on it, how does that make me holy?
If people understood some of that had to do with the death and the druids, it would make a difference. But here's the other thing, Rich. I agree with what you're saying, but think about this one. If you took out all of the other things and just let it be about Yeshua, would people still celebrate it? Or would they ban it? But if you take Jesus out of it, if you take Yeshua out of it, the church will still love it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you now, if you look up the Feast of Bacchus, Feast of Bacchus, I believe that's how you spell it. If you look up that, people will learn stuff. Or the Lord of Misrule. Capital L-O-R-D of misrule. You see, a lot of things we got in this country, for instance, all of us black being African American instead of some being Hebrew. us not knowing our history really back to about 1600s. And the best that you ever see of us when I was growing up was Tarzan. And you have the black people on Target, Tarzan going, Ungawa, Ungawa. And then this savior come in, Tarzan, and he beat his chest, and he understand the animals better than all those people that have lived there forever because he had been raised by the apes. And it always made the black people be savages, that and Doctari. But what about all of the civilizations that have been built by people that share ethnicity? There's a reason that truth has been obscured, and I will submit to you that Bible people and theologians do certain things like that to us too, because many times they want money and they want the crowd.
Yeah, you know.
Then I'll get, it's like, are you a Christian? I had people say, are you Jehovah's Witness? And I asked them, I said, why do you say that? I said, the Jehovah's Witness used to worship Christmas. In my library, my books over there that you don't see, I got plenty of Jehovah's Witness stuff. Plenty of that. And I got pictures of when they celebrated Christmas. But it was a guy named Kenny Lott. Back when I was, I think, early 20s or late teens. And he said, I don't know, y'all call y'allself holiness. Y'all call y'allself the only thing right. And y'all go to that church and think y'all better than everybody. And y'all celebrate Christmas. I said, that's right. That's when Jesus was born. You know, out of my puffing circumstance. And I'm going to prove him wrong. I hadn't seen him in years, but I couldn't prove him wrong. That just made me join his religion. Now I prove him wrong. But the thing is that it was because I didn't have answers to people that know stuff, that people that have been in the New Age movement, people that walk around and that will follow Aleister Crowley, or they would that guy named Church Satanism, or people that's in Wicca, or people that know different things about other religions. And I got books, you know, I got books on all that kind of stuff. I wanted to know what other people worship. And I found there's one guy that named George Frazier, where he talks about religion. He shows that sometimes they'll try to amalgamate everything and say that what we believe in the scripture is the same. He's wrong. But in order sometimes to defend the faith, and Peter says, 1 Peter 3 and 17, I think it's 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give a man an answer according to the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. I made up my mind. I wanted answers. I got tired of people picking on me because I was supposed to know because of the church that I grew up in. And I found I didn't have answers. I had to work. Best thing ever happened to me.
Well, I think that's the key. You know, people, see, again, my mind goes back to Romans chapter 10. You know, I see 10 and 1, you know, I see, hey, you have a zeal for God, but not in accordance to with knowledge, you know. And people think that, you know, all I have to do is have a zeal for God that makes me feel good. That's all I need.
Man, do you know that the people that served the high places, they kept keeping Yahweh's name, but they would be caught between two opinions? That's why you have the confrontation on Mount Moriah. They still say they serve in Yahweh, but they serve in Baal as well. And when Elijah come up there, that 1 Kings chapter 19, and Elijah come up there, how long y'all going to be hung between two opinions? And say, if God be God, and they couldn't answer. They didn't know anymore. They couldn't answer. And that's the way we are. If you don't get a miracle, they say you don't love God. You don't have faith. So a step was left in Miletus had no faith. And I guess Paul was in such bad shape that they were going to pluck their eyes out and give him to him. He was in bad shape. And I guess everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 after verse 35 would like my daddy to say, look like something sent for and couldn't come. We better understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was beat down like a dog, spit on, hung up on the tree naked. Plus, every man that hang on the tree is cursed. Would to God that Would to God that we would make the world know what we really believe and quit being ashamed. Easy to say I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to live it is a different kind of thing altogether.
There you go. Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed the message. You know, it provoked me to think, as they usually do, and I thank you for that. You know.
Well, thank you for joining me. And if there's anybody that have any questions or comments that they want, they can also type those in on the live comment on the Facebook. Gary, did you have anything that you were trying to say earlier, or am I putting you on Front Street?
You put me on Front Street.
I'm sorry. You can get back off. I
enjoyed the conversation you all was having.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there anyone else tonight?
Just a comment, Tim. I'm not going to join y'all out there on Saturday. I'm going to take another week to rest up before I start.
You should.
Yeah, you know.
I don't want you to come before you're ready.
Yeah, so, but I'll definitely call in, you know, and everything.
Great. Well, you're still in our prayers, and it sounds like your recovery is coming along smoothly.
It's coming along. You know, I got to make some adjustments and everything, you know.
I may have to come up there and kiss you on the forehead again. My wife is over there laughing at him.
Hey, Uncle.
Hi.
I say, hey, Uncle.
Well, all right, how you doing there?
I'm good, how are you?
Well, I'm making it, you know. I'll walk around the cul-de-sac a little bit today, so you know, I'm moving, I'm recovering, you know, so I'm doing good, you know. I'm just thankful, you know. I'm thankful for you all and everybody, you know, for all the support and everything, and you know, I can't wait, you know, I'm ready to go ahead and get back out there. But as I said, I probably just need to go ahead and take another week or so, you know, and try to recover a little bit.
Well, we definitely look forward to seeing you again. And if I get things situated, I may come out there and try to walk you real hard Friday. Maybe we can walk two blocks.
Well.
It sounds like you can walk, but I know when I got to stop.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, I went around that cul-de-sac a couple times. I intended to go back out in the evening, but then, you know, bottom line, I didn't make it out. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, it's a little bit of an adjustment, but... But I'm, you know, I'm thankful to God for the recovery, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just thankful to God for everything. I am truly, truly thankful to God.
Bless his name. Praise Yah. Is there anyone else? Holy Father, I thank you for all your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your powers. And I praise you in the name of your holy child, Yeshua. Yahweh, I ask you to help us to say that we're called by your name, that we would seek your face, and that we would seek your word, and that we would humble ourselves before you and turn from any and all of our ways that are wicked, so that you would heal us, heal our land, and put us in a position where we will not always be abused and taken advantage of, but that we will lead this nation in righteousness and judgment and faith by your power. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, you all.